Jimmy, I wanted to talk to you. I believe it's the only time I've called a columnist, but I saw your column about Bill White speaking for me, and I wanted you to know the facts. I've spent 10 hours with Lippman for every 10 minutes I've spent with White, and I think it's almost McCarthyism to say that whatever another man does, I'm responsible for. I've spent a good deal more time with you than I have with Bill White. He's my friend. I like him, but he's never interviewed me since I've been in the White House. He's never come to a press conference. He's never asked for a private meeting. If you look at his columns over the years, as you look at yours, he has a definite trend and a definite feeling. I'm not upset about what Utant did. All I asked was that the Utant be briefed. I didn't think that he had any conception of what was happening. But I didn't get irritated by him, and I didn't get angry with him, and I didn't express any great displeasure, or I wasn't disturbed. But we've been putting a good deal of stuff into Burma, and his own government hadn't told him, and I thought that was something he really ought to know. We had cables that day, the day that he was talking about how we could work out real negotiations, and there's not any indication that these people would. They just laugh at you when you talk about negotiation. We have explored and are exploring every hour everything we can do in that field. But I don't think that we can expect them to sit down with us and try to have any agreement right now. The agreement we have, they won't pay any attention to. And they laugh about it. And I don't mind reading you, if it would help you, any of a cable that I got from there since Kosygin has come out, in which they say that South Vietnam is crumbling, that this is a step, part of the revolution, and they're going on and take Thailand, and they're going on and take Indonesia, and they're going on and take Burma, and they're going to take India if they can. And I would just be very happy to bring our soldiers home tomorrow. If they just wouldn't come in and kill them at night and try to take up this little country. But I think we got 100 little countries at stake, and I didn't get us in there, but I sure don't want to run out. And I can't, if Dave Lawrence or Drew Pearson or Bill White write something and say that this must have had sanction of Johnson and must be his approval, and I don't care about your saying it. The thing that I don't want to happen is I don't want you to believe it, because no one has that with me. The article you referred to in the Times was written by a man that I have never seen, that I know nothing about. He never sought to talk to me about anybody that was insider, outsider. That some of the men he mentioned I haven't had a conversation with since I was president. Most of the men he mentioned have made a recommendation to me. It does happen that Abe Fortas drew my trust. It does happen that he serves on the Kennedy Center. It does happen he's my friend. I've seen him 3 or 4 times. Clark Clifford was named by Kennedy head of the Intelligence Board. That's the only thing he's ever talked to me about. But Tommy Corcoran and Jim Rowe and those people never been in the White House. Now, they have been friends through the years. Ben Cohen has been a friend. But he never talked to me, never seen him since then. This guy just writing for dough. And I think it's a great reflection on your profession that just is so ready to criticize anybody else that we can have a big document like that on a respectable paper like the Times without him ever interviewing anybody in the White House about it. And here this is written on cool authority by a man that doesn't know the president. Isn't that shocking to you?
Well, I must say that I'm rather astonished.
It is. I never have seen the man. He's never talked to me. He's never had an interview with me. He's never talked to anybody that I can find around. Now, I know private lawyers sometimes like to be known as intimates, and I imagine a good many people would like to be known as an intimate of the president. I don't think White is one of them. White is one of the most independent fellows that I have ever known. White has never called me once and asked me to confirm a fact.
I certainly appreciate your taking the trouble to set me straight on this, and I did try to write it not as your view, but as it being interpreted as your view.
Well, it can, and I think it's when you interpret it, I think others will interpret it, and pretty soon whatever White writes or whatever Wexler writes, I'm responsible for. But God Almighty, that's I thought I got rid of that in the Senate a few years ago. Every man ought to stand on his own and not on his ancestors and not on his friends and not on what somebody else. Hell, Lew Douglas is a friend of mine since he was when I was a congressional secretary. Barry Goldwater was a friend of mine in the Senate. But,
I understand that.
And has been for a good many years. I knew Stiles Bridges for 25 years and worked with him, but I never had a thought like his in my life. I don't agree with a good deal with white rights. Just a good deal. And I don't know who gets the idea about Utah, because I haven't had that idea. All I asked the Secretary of State to do was to give Utah the facts that the poor man did not know. And he would just look like he made an ass of himself. I never said that to anybody but Secretary of State. When we're pouring aid into Burma, and he says that we never received it, had no connection with it, and was basing his position good deal on that.
Well, you've given me a very quick education.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I
wasn't served by the column, quite honestly, because I felt that coming right after the Times story that it was going to be.
I have not had a conversation with White about Vietnam or about anything else important since I became president. Not one time. White never comes to a press conference, never has a private audience, never asked for one, never comes around. I've seen him perhaps twice socially. When we'd have some party for the Prime Minister of Great Britain or something, and he'd be one that was on the press list. We go down the list and take the columnists. It'll be Mark Childs and Doris Fleeson tonight. It'll be somebody else tomorrow night. They take them. Now, that's my contact. But, of course, I would have, and I'd be glad to, and any time he called me, just like you. But when you say White's remarks are construed as a reflection of presidential attitude, and there's assumption that no such hard words would have been written without tacit assent in high places. Well, now, you know how much assent you want from high places to write your column, don't you? You
no,
don't
I
give a ticker's damn what Johnson thinks.
I did feel that this was a thing of great delicacy, and I...
Well, it's not. Now, let me tell you this. There's not a human being in this town that I know that really gives a ticker's damn about what I think of his column. If I ever told you the truth in my life, that's true. I don't think Doris Fleeson or Max Friedman. I don't think David Lawrence or Joe Alsop. I don't think it Walter Lippmann or Roland Evans.
Well,
give a damn. Now, I have spent more time on Vietnam than all of them put together with Walter Lippmann. I've gone to his house. I've had him to my office. He told Mac Bundy last night that he was still aboard, that he didn't know what else I could do. I've been here 15 months, and I can run out of there, but I just think my government will damn near fall. I just don't believe the people. I don't know. Nearly all the people think that we ought to.